Well, I'm really glad, Tom, that you mentioned what a phylactery was for us, because that's not something that we do every day, right? Can you imagine if you took today's scripture and rolled it up and wore it in a little box on your forehead for the rest of the day? Kind of like a little headlamp, right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. So if you walked around like that, it might serve as an important reminder to you. It might be something that every time you saw your reflection or every time you went to touch your forehead, you would remember that the Word of God was in some way impressed upon you. Often what would appear there is the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord is one. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Imagine wearing that on your wrist or your arm. That'd be one way for people to know that you were following the teachings of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that you were a follower of Moses, that you were indeed serious about what God had to say, right up until the moment when people saw you not doing those teachings of God. In fact, I've mentioned this before. When I was living in Southern Africa, whenever I went to religious services, the denomination there, the Lesotho Evangelical Church, required that I wear a clerical collar. The clerical collar was kind of like a little phylactery around my neck, something that reminded others and was intended to remind me that I was about God's business. And so I would put the clerical collar on and I would adjust it so it didn't hurt my neck, and out I'd go, and then I'd get in the middle of somewhere and I'd forget that I was telling everybody that I was about God's business, and then I would get angry at somebody in traffic. Or then I'd get frustrated with somebody or whatever, and every once in a while, just before I was going to lay on the horn or just before I was going to say hey to somebody, I realized I'm letting people know visually with my clothing that God and I have some kind of a relationship with one another. And I'd back off a little bit. It was a good reminder in that way, except to say this. I should know every day when I walk out my door that people, when they see me, should understand that God and I have a relationship with one another. Because if I'm going to be recognized as one who understands Scripture and wants to share it with the world, people should recognize me as someone who's trying to learn what Scripture says. Indeed, the best teachers are lifelong learners. I want you to imagine with me for a moment. Think back over your life, or even over your week or your day. Think about one of your favorite teachers. I've got one. I hope you've got one too. One of your favorite teachers. Think about what she or he said and did. You loved most about that teacher. And now try to answer this question. Did that teacher seem to love to learn? Here's why I ask that. Each and every time that I think about who my favorite teachers have been, they've been the ones who've not only been excited about having me in their classroom, and there are very few teachers for whom that's true, but they were also excited about their topic. They loved to learn. They weren't just pouring it out there because they'd memorized it 30 years ago. They were excited about it. They were learners. They were always learning more. They were figuring out how to be better teachers and how to be better learners. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm guessing that that's true for many of your favorite teachers. They loved to teach and they loved to learn. And that showed in what they did. Now, Jesus, as he talks about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, gives them their proper, right? He says to them, or about them, rather, that they deserve your respect. They indeed sit in the seat of Moses. They are part of the long tradition of sharing what God intends for God's people that came down from the mountain on Sinai with Moses and with the written law. But Jesus also says that we need to understand that those who teach must also be those who do. You've heard the tired old yarn that seems to push teachers down, right? Those who can do, those who can't teach. Right? And then even worse, to push other teachers down from the School of Rock movie and those who can't teach, teach gym, right? Well, I want to start from the end of that and work my way to the front. First of all, if there's a physical education instructor who loves students and loves learning and loves physical education, that's doing and teaching, and it's very important, isn't it? If there's a teacher who loves students and loves learning and loves teaching his or her subject or their subject, that's important, isn't it? The problem comes, and Jesus pointed this out, and people in his own time, when teaching is just about repeating something in front of people as if that's all you have to do, if it's just about wearing the right uniform, like a clergy collar, if it's just about strapping a box to your forehead or to your arm so that people know you are a teacher. How do people know you're a teacher? They know when you love to learn and you begin to teach. A teacher is a teacher when learners are learning. Another thing that I really had to struggle with when I was living in Lesotho, I had some colleagues at one of the institutions, especially where I taught, whose understanding of being a really good teacher was if you could give lectures that were so obscure, your students couldn't understand them. I remember sitting at morning tea one day with a teacher, and he said, "Well, you know, my students don't even understand what I'm talking about. I'm such a good teacher." I leaned in and said, "Well, don't you want your students to understand what you're talking about?" "Of course not," he said. "Then they might think I was just as dumb as they are." Imagine somebody who walks around in Jesus' time with a box of scripture strapped to their head, their arm, with long tassels, who wants everybody to think that they're so smart and wise just because of those things. Now imagine somebody who walks around maybe with the tassels, maybe with the phylactery, but also with a heart open to God and humanity. Now you're on to something. I always think that the best way to teach somebody something is to let them know that you think that they're as smart as you think you are, to let them understand that you take them seriously. Also, doing is teaching in the same way that doing is learning. What was Jesus trying to say? One of the things I think is that if we really take seriously what God has given us in God's law and in all of our tradition, then we will do that. We will do justice. We will do righteousness. And when people enter a situation where we are present, they will know that we are followers of Jesus Christ and that we are servants of God because we will be serving one another. Oftentimes, when I enter a room in a new situation, I want to look around and find out who's who. Sometimes I'm there and I want to speak to whoever's in charge. And I've learned different cues to find the person that's in charge. Sometimes they're wearing the fanciest suit. Sometimes everyone's standing around sucking up to that person. Sometimes they're in a special chair. Sometimes they're in the front. Sometimes they're wearing a uniform. That might mean that they are the lead person in that situation, but it's not always a good indicator of who the true leaders in that moment are. How would you find those people? Well, you might find them helping to set out the coffee. You might find them helping people find their chair. You might find them welcoming people into the group. You might find them preparing the things that need to happen. You will find them serving one another. And that's what Jesus said to his disciples and says to us, that the greatest will be the servant of all. How do we decide what greatness is here? In essence, we sidestep that question altogether and we ask ourselves, how can we be of service? How can we be vessels through which the love that God has given us moves forward into the world that God loves so much? You are responsible for teaching others about the way of the gospel that you have chosen to follow. Jesus says to his disciples, call no one your father on earth, and don't even call each other teachers anymore. Before you are siblings, I call you together and we follow together. And yet, just as he says that, he's saying, teach by your example. Don't just talk the talk, walk the walk, as our bulletin cover says today. Be a lifelong learner and follower of the ways of Jesus Christ and show that forth in what you do. Frankly, it's easier to strap a box to your forehead. Really, isn't it? It's a lot easier to wear the uniform of a teacher. In fact, in the little tease about today's table talk, I mentioned that when I was younger, I thought about, oh, you know, I would love to be a teacher when I grow up. I would love to be a college instructor and even wear the elbow patches. I brought my special sweater today with the elbow patches like an old-time college professor. Elbow patches don't make teachers, do they? But here's the thing. Sometimes teachers make elbow patches because they've spent so much time leaning over books in the library and studying what they need to know that their elbows wear out. And because they spend so much effort giving of themselves about the topic that they're teaching that they don't just buy a new sweater, they practically sew on a patch and move on so they can encounter more students. What kind of patches would Christian teachers have? Maybe we would need knee patches because we spend a lot of time praying and washing feet and washing floors and serving other people. Maybe we would need mouth patches so that we would remember not to say certain things at certain times. Or because we spent all of our time encouraging other people. Think about what it is in your Christian life that you're called to use so often that it would become a part of your uniform. Probably not a shiny badge, maybe not scripture connected to your arm or your forehead. Maybe not even your Bible. What if you went to a room full of people and you were looking for Christians and there were hungry people in that room? Would you look for the people serving the food or would you look for the people carrying the Bibles? In a room full of hungry people, I'd bet on the people carrying the food. Every single time. It matters what we do because the things that we do teach people who we are. I think it was Maya Angelou who once said, when people show you who they are, believe them. Our lives show forth what we care about. Our lives show forth what we value. If you value the Bible, value and follow the teachings contained within. If you value the meal that we have shared today, embody that meal as you interact with others throughout this week. If you value your call to follow Jesus as Lord, value the world that Jesus gave his life for and that God loves so very much. We've got a lot to learn. And I believe that we learn it by doing. Christianity, our call to faith and discipleship, is the ultimate lifelong experiential learning program. And those are the best programs, aren't they? Learning by doing, getting out of the classroom. In fact, I'm going to pick on somebody right now, John Gerdes. I think I saw some experiential learning happening on Facebook. Did you have some students at Southern Illinois University recently? Yeah. And I know so many others here are teachers, and thanks be to God, we are a congregation filled with teachers and retired teachers. Think about the times that you could engage your students in doing something together, how they were able to integrate that knowledge, what it meant for them to practice the things that they were learning. That's what Jesus intended for us. Jesus doesn't say, every day wake up and recite 10 scripture passages. Every day make sure that you've got your Jesus uniform on. Every day remember that you show everyone your Bible. Jesus instead says, go, do, follow, serve, love, hope. That's the thing to which we are called. And every day, as we do it, we learn more. And every day, as we share it, we teach the world about our teacher, Jesus, our Christ, the Redeemer, the Anointed One. And every day, as we learn more and more to serve one another, we participate little by little in God's reign and realm among us. And for that, thanks be to God. Amen.